Sorry, right, I know you did it. I'm sorry. My bad.
You fucker.
Sorry. Hey, little creeps and freaks.
Creepies and freakies.
Welcome back to the In the Nick of Crime podcast.
Ayo.
Meow, 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 meow.
We're back.
We only skipped 1 week. Be proud. We didn't, like, skip a week and then go, not happening again.
No, we did it.
We're here. And it was legitimate. Like, we just didn't have time to record last week. So.
Unfortunately. Yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah.
We're back.
It happens. We're here.
It happens. And we're getting two recordings in one day.
Let's go. Yeah, because we're recording Scription Lore 2.
Woo!
Cool, 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 cool.
Which
cool,
our last one cracked me up. You
It really did. I was so sad that one was not. I don't know why that came to my head. And I was just like, what the fuck when I was editing that episode? But I was really sad that it got lost because it was quite delightful.
It was a good episode.
Yeah, I liked definitely it.
When you told me to listen and then you were like, I call you a Teletubby at the end, I literally waited to the very end to hear you call me a Teletubby and then go, I do not remember her calling
either.
Me a Teletubby.
I was like, why the fuck did that go into my head? I think it's because you're going like this.
I was probably like doing
the
something.
The Teletubby Sun Baby. Yeah.
I don't know, but it was funny. It was epic. Go listen if you haven't.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Our last episode.
A lot of free time to play with volcanoes, I think is what I called it.
I love the titles you come up with. They're the best.
And, like, they have to be weird.
They do.
I'm like, if they're a deterrent for you, I'm sorry. You're not made for Scoops and Lore, then.
You should be, though, because Scoops and Lore, I think, is way more fun.
Yeah, well, of course it's more fun, because we're not talking about murder all the time.
True, true.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, cool.
We're trying to be a weekly true crime podcast again.
Yeah, we're trying to get back into that groove.
Yeah. And we already talked about we like to do some spooky, spooky, spooky shit.
And obviously comedy. Like, that is truly Scoops and Lore. I don't think I laugh more than when we record Scoops and Lore.
And it's just, like, automatically we're just goofy with it. And it's just, we just can't not.
It's so, a good time.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have. I felt like we had something to talk about, but I don't know if we did. I don't know. We still haven't canceled our Patreon, but we're going to.
Yes.
So anyone that is a current patron, just moonwalk yourselves out of there. Thank you so much. We love you for all of your support.
We do. We do.
We just wanted to be transparent with that. And if we ever, figure something else out better in the future to do, then we will definitely do it. We just don't want to, not give y'all extra for your support.
Yeah, so. And we don't want to, like, keep taking your amazing donations if we don't have anything to give you in return.
Right. Exactly. I don't think we have anything else to talk about.
I don't think we do either.
Hey, everyone. Michelle popping in here. I just wanted to give you all a heads up that this week's fuckery that we cover is particularly gruesome. So if you are a bit squeamish, you may want to skip this one this week. You can jump ahead about 7 minutes and you should be past the more gruesome bits. Just wanted to give you guys a warning.
Which means this week is your fuckery week because it is my week for main case.
Yeah, bruh. So I was sitting here, I was like, oh, shoot, I didn't pick Weekly Fuckery. And literally the first thing I opened on People, because I actually like People's True Crime
People's
section.
I love People's True Crime section.
Like,
that's where I get magazine. All of our fuckery
from. Yeah, like, I don't read that magazine at all, but People Investigates, great show.
Yes.
And their True Crime section kind of slaps.
Epic.
So I'm just going to read the title of this first, because literally I read it and like Courtney's trying to talk to me. I think my jaw was just on the floor.
Your eyes were also like the size of a dollar.
Words. I was like, you can
like the dollar coin. Can't speak that thing. I know it has a name. Can't think of it right now. I'm very un-American. Do not hate on me.
And don't do that hand gesture. That's you.
Oh,
that's asshole.
I thought this isn't this a game?
It is.
Okay.
But it's asshole.
Oh. Like, oh, Jesus. Anyway, what's your title?
Okay, so literally the title of this article says, man who had buckets of human remains promoted himself as, quote, preservation specialist of retired medical specimens. I know, like, compartmentalize that. I was like, I have no idea what this means. What is
happening? So he's trying to find a legal way to have human remains?
Pretty much. It says his name is Jeremy Pauly. Wild, this dude. I might have to put his picture on Instagram carousel just so you can see, because he has piercings on the top of his head. spike piercings on the top of his head. Half of his face is tattooed, including his eye. His eye is tattooed.
Like, his eyeball is tattooed.
Yeah, like, yeah, fully tattooed. So, yeah, there's that. I mean, you do you, boo-boo. I got a lot of tattoos. Court has a lot of tattoos, yeah. But, like, whoa.
We are covered in them. Whoa, bruh.
So, his name is Jeremy Polly. He ended up getting sentenced to probation after police found stolen human body parts in his basement. What's weird is, though, that police went to his house, it says in June of 2022, they got calls about him hoarding human remains. I'm like, A, who knows that he's doing this? Is he, like, taking people to his house and being like, hey, look at what I've got downstairs? And they're like, what the fuck, dude? That's my question. But he told police that he was a, quote, collector of oddities. He's like, I just collect them. What's weird is it said there's 15 to 20 skulls and assorted skeletons he had in his home. And it's in Enola, Pennsylvania, it says. They were legally purchased.
Mm-hmm.
Legally.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I mean, that's what he told.
If he's an oddities collector,
right,
they would have to be right. Legal. I'm not saying that it they are, that but... It
says he told police that right. They were legally purchased. But it can be.
Yeah, if you're an oddities collector, you can but legally purchase. But I didn't know
human remains fell in that. That's fucking wild.
You can, yeah, they've got a lot of, like, it's not actually, like, full human remains. Like, it's,
well, yeah,
like,
that's more my thing. Is like, I know that, like, oh my gosh. I'm having so much trouble making words. The last, like, week, I cannot...
You're taking after me.
I cannot think of things that I'm trying to
Welcome
say.
Welcome to the world of ADHD out
It's
control.
Really... Yeah. I was just telling Courtney, I'm having, like, major, like, ADD shutdown the last couple of days. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Embalmed, like, mm-hmm. body parts and stuff like that. I know that's a thing, but it's, like, straight-up skeletons. Like, mm-hmm. it's wild. According to his website, it declares on one page, quote, "Remember, you must die," in all caps.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure we all remember that right, and like, don't want
we
to.
We all die.
But thank you for that awful reminder.
He apparently has a museum. I'm assuming it's in his house. Probably. It's called the Memento Mori. I'm like, boring. Of course it is.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's, quote, "to his efforts in the restorative and creative works of the Polly Institute of Preservation." So he named an institute after himself. And I guarantee you that shit has no actual grounds for being an institute. Oh, shit. It says the website features a backdrop photograph of several human fetuses in jars. What the fuck?
That is a very big thing at oddity shops. I don't know if he knew that, but...
I don't want to.
Yeah.
There's a laws, quote-unquote, section on his website, apparently. It's divided into three sections: federal law, state law, and import regulations. But it's all blank. The fuck, dude? So, the officers that originally went to his house back in the summer of 2022, they went back the next month in July, and a person called in a tip who claimed that there were buckets of, quote, "human skin and human organs" in the basement of his home. What the fuck? So, police got a search warrant, luckily. They found 3 5-gallon buckets filled with body parts. I should have given a, like, warning on this
one. Dude, I don't normally get, like, sick from that stuff, but that's making my stomach so hurt.
I made my, like, sound cap peak. Yeah. I'll put a disclaimer in the show notes or patch something in the beginning. Sorry. Trigger warning, gross warning, all the things. Skip this part if you are squeamish.
Can we skip this part? I'm not normally squeamish, but something about that makes me want to throw.
It's like the fact
rocks.
That it's in buckets that makes me most
maybe
uncomfy.
That's what it is. Ooh.
I just like get mental image. Oh my god. Okay,
I'm gonna drink tea while you say this part. Okay. So I keep my intestines in my calm.
So police got a search warrant. They found 3 5-gallon buckets filled with body parts, including, oh my god, I don't know why I'm even reading this, but I feel like I have to.
Why are you saying it out loud?
I'm in it this deep. Ooh, I'm not going to go into all the details, but it's like a human heart, kidney, skull with hair, livers, lungs, trachea.
So basically body parts.
Yeah, like disembodied body parts. And organs.
Yeah, I think we're good on that.
Yep.
Wow.
So he was arrested and charged,
as you should be,
by the local police with abuse of a corpse, receiving stolen property, and dealing in proceeds of unlawful activities. He pleaded guilty only to abuse of a corpse. As part of his agreement with prosecutors to plead guilty, the other charges were dismissed. Bullshit. Whatever. He was, this past Tuesday, I don't know if that's yesterday or the Tuesday before, I didn't see when this was posted, but he was sentenced to 2 years of supervised probation, which seems light. Yeah. So
I have so many things to say on that, but like not enough time.
I'm like super uncomfy right now. It was posted today. So yesterday he was sentenced. And we're recording on March 6th, just so y'all know.
Wow, that some people, man, that
the audacity for him to be like, this is all legal.
Like, I feel like that's like a whole freaking case all on its own of just figuring out where he's getting these bodies from. Like,
I know, and like, I'm worried because, you know, funeral homes are getting a bad rap lately. And I'm like, is this where he's getting this shit? Especially in Colorado, let's have that
conversation.
Yeah, man, we've talked about one of them recently. There's been so many
of them. Here in Colorado, like, all over the freaking state, and I'm like, wow, guys, way to make us look that much worse.
Yeah. So sorry to start on that gross note, but I, like, could not share that.
No.
So someone else has to suffer with me in that.
It made me so uncomfortable.
I know, like, my tummy is, like, doing somersaults right now. Dude, my stomach
does not feel good. It does
not feel nice.
And I'm the type of girl that doesn't get squeamish, and I literally ride roller coasters within 10 seconds of eating, so... The fact that that made my stomach uncomfortable, we got problems.
And I even, like, skimmed the whole thing first, but I was not prepared for all that. Ridiculous. Anyway, I'm really uncomfy. My tummy is not good right now.
So should I take over?
Yeah, Courtney, what do you have for us today?
Okay, so I have a case that I told you I didn't just stumble into this case. I face planted into this case.
mental image that I get.
It's like talking about Mothman all over again. Great Scoops and Lore if you guys haven't.
Yep, a clumsy runner. That's that one.
He's a runner. He's a track star. Anyway. Okay, so I'm taking us back over the pond to the UK.
Again.
To London specifically. Hey, you know what? This case is wild and... It needs to be talked about, so, because it's definitely, I even looked up for, like, documentaries on this.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
And it needs one.
Yeah.
Because this case is wild.
Okay.
So we're going to do the case of Alice Adams and Tibor Voss.
I feel like I've heard of this.
You might have.
That second name sounds very familiar.
Tibor Voss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of wild. I, again, had not heard of this one, and it's pretty recent, 2011, 2012, so... Not terribly far away.
That was
10 years ago.
13 years ago. 12 to 13 years ago. I just say that because I was literally thinking about something. I was thinking about, like, 2020 just happened. No, it was 4 years ago. It's crazy.
This was a pretty rough one. So
wow.
I don't have a lot of, like, gruesome details in it. It's just, this whole case is wild. I'm just going to start with that.
Okay.
So I go through a little bit. I talk about... Like, the start of the case, I talk about Tibor, I talk about Alice and themselves and all of that. But I will preface this whole case with saying at the very end, I actually have full-on verbatim word-for-word quotes from both of their mothers, which I think will help you guys with this case. So, investigators involved in this case were quoted as saying it was one of the most unusual cases that they ever worked.
Yeah.
So, if that doesn't tell you how we're starting, that's how we're starting.
Right, yeah.
So in 2011, Alice Adams and Tibor Voss, both 20 at the time, worked at a hotel called the Radisson Blue Edwardian Heathrow Hotel. That is a mouthful.
I love how things in the UK have such extravagant names.
And it only has this name because it's literally right next We're to just Heathrow, like, Airport.
That's the Holiday Inn Express.
Right?
It's the Hyatt place.
When you get to the Express part, it's a nice Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inn, Best Western. It's like they have a surname.
So, Allison was a native to the area.
Mm-hmm.
Her house was just about 6 miles from the hotel.
Okay.
If that tells you how close she is. Pretty close. Yeah. She started working at this hotel 3 weeks prior to this incident happening.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Which is kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah.
She had made a lot of friends super fast. She was known as being very bubbly, very friendly, very outgoing. Mm-hmm. And she had especially bonded with her coworker, Tibor.
Okay.
Tibor. I can't wait to show you a picture of him. He, like, they're both stunning. I'm going to tell you right now, like, yeah. These are two stunning humans. Mm-hmm. But Tibor was born and raised in Budapest, Hungary.
Yep, I know what this case is.
Yes.
Because I was like, my kinfolk.
These are your kinfolk. And, like, he is just, like, he has that Hungarian, like, facial structure. Mm-hmm. Just a very good-looking young man. Yeah. And Alice is a very good-looking young mm-hmm. woman. Like, these two, if...
They're beautiful.
Oh, they're stunning.
Their parents done good. They were graced by the hands of God.
So well. I was like, oh.
Dang.
So, he was one of two children. He mm-hmm. has a younger sister. He was said to have loved being surrounded by people, and he's pulling at your heartstrings, loved music.
Of course.
I'm pulling at you. So much so that this man is so talented. Let me tell you what. He could literally play almost every instrument, but his favorite was piano, to which he taught his little sister how to play, and they would often sing and play together for their parents.
Why does it have to be so precious?
I know.
I hate when stories start like this.
Sorry. They're
like, they were so philanthropic. They were such family people. Everyone loved them. They were such a shining light. It just...
Oh, I know, it's so hard. And I'm talking about Tibor right now. I will bring Alice in a little bit later because it kind of just flowed better to have her talked about a little bit later.
For sure.
Tibor's father actually passed away in 2007. And this was a very difficult loss for not only him, but his mother and his sister. Like, none of them handled it very well.
Right.
So at this point, he not only becomes Isabel's brother, but now he's that father figure for her because she's still very young at this time.
Yeah, he had to step in.
Right. And he decided that he wanted to share his mother's burden. Like, if that doesn't tell you how amazing this kid is, I don't know what does. Because he is 15 at this time.
I was going to ask how old he was. Because, any other teenager would be like, I mean, I'll be a good brother, but I'm not going to take on more, you know?
Yeah. Well, he not only takes on more, he starts working full time.
Oh my gosh.
Shortly after, in about 2008, is when he starts working full time. So he's 15, 16.
Good grief.
Trying to basically take over this role and help his mother and his sister, which I think...
What an angel.
Mad props.
Yeah.
He also applied for the University of Budapest in 2008. He had this similar mindset to most of us millennials at the time, where it was told to us if we got a college degree, we would have a better job. And we could support our families.
Yep.
This was the same thing that he felt and had been told.
And now all of us are sitting here working in jobs that have nothing to do with our degrees.
Oh, and paying off, like, thousands of dollars in student loan debt. Yeah. It's great. Go us. Epic failure on that one. Unfortunately, regardless of his talents and also his high level of intelligence, like, this boy was dumb smart. Like, just genius level. That was a total...
No, I get it. It makes sense. It's like, it is stupid how smart you are.
Yes, literally. But he was still denied admission to the university.
What the hell?
But this kid is strong. Mm-hmm. Did not deter him from continuing to work hard.
Good.
He eventually convinced his mother to let him move to the United Kingdom, which... as a mom, like...
in Europe and everything, it's just so much more common. It's like...
I'm sure it is, especially, like, anywhere outside of the United States. Mm-hmm. It's not common in the U.S. to have your children just up and be like, can I move to the U.K.? And you'd be like, absolutely!
Right.
Because for us, it's more like, can I move to Florida? And you're like, yes, you sure can.
Right. And even then, it's
a rough move for moms, especially. So... Mad props to his mom. Yeah. She said, absolutely, go on over there. Do what you need to do.
Yeah.
He found a job to support himself and to support his family. So
for him.
I know. Fast forward to 2010. This is where we're at. He's 19 at the time.
Okay.
He ends up moving to London, where he started working at the Radisson Blue Edwardian Heathrow Hotel. That's a long name. So Sorry. It's just so long. And I know I'm going to screw it up at one point.
Us uncultured swine. It's been a long time since I've brought that into the mix. Ooh. Here in America, we would just say the Radisson at Heathrow.
We would.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Radisson, it would just be Heathrow. The Radisson.
Yeah. Like, we would know where we were talking about. Yeah,
we would.
Respect. Respect. I love it. You give them each their own identities.
Hey, I'm here for it. He was said to have loved the people that he worked with and his job responsibilities, and he really flourished at his job. So, I'm going to talk about Alice a tiny bit right here. There's mm-hmm. more of her later on, but she was also a talented musician. So, of again, course. Reach into your heartstrings mm-hmm. there, my friend. And this obviously helped her quickly bond with Tibor.
Mm-hmm.
As they discuss, like, many, many things about music while they were working. Yeah. And also, they're the same age. Mm-hmm. They're both very attractive. Like, I cannot
I'm pretty. Let's be friends.
Facts. I cannot see why they wouldn't be. Because,
they
like,
had more substance than that, Court.
I know. I'm just blown away by how gorgeous the two of them are. Like, truthfully, like, I kept staring at their photos just being like, these were two beautiful humans. Mm-hmm. Like,
inside and out.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally exactly that. And mm-hmm. I'm still, like, in shock and awe at this whole thing. So they both worked at the front desk. They were receptionists at the hotel.
Okay.
But there was one other receptionist who was 31-year-old Italia? It's like Natalia. But
without the N.
Without the N.
Mm-hmm.
Italia Ban, who was working at the hotel the longest, and he actually even recognized as employee of 2010.
Okay.
So Italia and Tibor quickly became close friends
mm-hmm.
because they're both from Budapest, fun fact.
Cool.
And the hotel actually provided apartments for incoming employees, but Tibor and Italia both lived in a house literally right behind the hotel. It's kind of wild. Yeah. Like, I can put a picture up when we do our Instagram post, but mm-hmm. like, you literally see the apartments that the hotel has because they're kind of like, it's kind of like Excalibur. Or not Excalibur, the Luxor, where you have, like, the pyramid, and then you've got, like, a tower.
Yes.
It's, like, the tower part.
I mean, Excalibur, to be fair, does too.
Yeah.
Just there aren't any rooms in the castle.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, like, that's kind of how it works, and then the house is, no joke, literally within, like, 5 feet of the building. So, they were able to room together, it was convenient, it saved them money, and then it was a very short walk to work.
Yeah, for sure.
So, even though Tibor was super happy in England, he still had that dream.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to go to school. He wanted to get in and help his family out. So, he applied again to the University of Budapest. Okay. And this time, he was accepted.
Okay. So good for him.
And he was set to go home August of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was set to go home, I think, August 10th is when he would have left. So, he would have been home by August 11th.
Okay.
But on August 9th, 2011, many employees, along with Alice, Tibor, and Atelia, decided to celebrate Tibor leaving the next day, or not the next day, the 11th. So they threw him a going away party.
Okay.
Everything seemed pretty normal for those who attended, but things obviously didn't add up the morning of August 10th of 2011,
mm-hmm.
because that next day, Alice, Tibor, and Atelia were all scheduled to work. But not one of them showed up.
Oh, okay. Yikes.
And I mean, they were scheduled to work early because after 7 a.m. when they still weren't there, their colleagues really started to worry and they got into this fast.
Okay.
Some of the fastest, like, hey, oh, someone's missing, let's look for them that I've ever seen. Because
They must have known it was very abnormal for them. They must have been very reliable employees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, long story short is they get involved with their higher-ups. Higher-ups call the police.
Mm-hmm.
And the police actually showed up at their house at 7:53 in the morning. If that doesn't tell you how fast this was.
Wow.
It's wild. So they obviously knock on the door of Tibor and Atelia's house that they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
There's no answer. So police enter the home, which, mind you, they didn't even have to break down the door because the door's unlocked.
Okay.
Odd. First problem. That,
yeah, not a good sign.
Yeah. So, this is when they find some pretty horrific things. So, when they walk inside, they find a pretty horrific scene. Okay. The first thing that they find immediately is Alice's body. It's in the living room. It's on the floor. Right. She has a pillow over her face, and she has many wounds on her body.
Oh my gosh.
Later, medical examiners would actually testify that the autopsy showed she'd been stabbed 22 times.
My gosh.
Yeah. Horrific.
Overkill. Like, absolute overkill.
Dude, this whole case is wild. So, once they see that, obviously, police are like, holy crap, like, lock down the scene.
Right, yeah.
We gotta investigate. We gotta figure out if anyone else is here.
Right.
They start walking around the house, and they come across another horrific scene where they find Tibor Voss's naked body on the bed.
Oh, gosh.
And an autopsy found that he had died from 2 stab wounds directly to the heart.
Oh.
Yeah.
That just, like, hurts my chest.
That literally makes me feel like I have heartburn when I hear that. Like,
you can't breathe. Oh, my gosh.
The weird part is that Attilia was nowhere to be found. And police obviously get to work immediately. They're coordinating off the house. They're bringing in a forensic team. They're starting this investigations. Like, they're not playing games. Right. Which,
good.
Mad props to the police on this one. The first odd thing that they noticed was obviously the condition of Tibor's body.
Okay.
He was found on the bed, yes, and there was stab wounds directly to his heart, which, if you guys don't know, like, that would lead to an awful lot of bleeding.
Yeah.
There was hardly any blood on the bed where he was at.
So, it seems like he was put there.
Yeah.
After the fact.
Yeah. Okay. So, they're thinking that he had been killed somewhere else.
Right.
And then, like, the body had been neatly, like, placed in this spot. The team quickly found that, obviously, he'd been murdered in another location. His body had been stripped, cleaned, and then it was laid on the bed.
Ugh.
Yeah. I will get into details about what actually happened, but just know that it's not just, like, a pretty little scene.
Yeah.
Other things that were found at the scene of the crime were obviously alcohol and then illegal substances, which were assumed to have been used by many people at the party, not just the 3 involved in what's going on right now.
Didn't you say they went out, though?
Nope. They stayed at Tibor and Atelier's house. Okay. That's where the housewarming party was.
Or the going out. I thought you said going out, but that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So police begin to search the house, the attic, the surrounding areas, but they're not finding Attilia anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And what's weird to them is, like, all his personal belongings are still in the house. Like, documents, like, legal documents, like, traveling to other country documents, like, all of his stuff at this house. Like, nothing's missing except for him and his cell phone. Like, that's it.
Okay.
So, obviously, he becomes the main suspect because he's missing from the scene of this crime. Like, nobody's heard from him.
Right.
So they begin questioning other employees at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Many people had said that as soon as Tibor started working at the hotel, Attilia actually took him under his wing and started to show him the ropes. But he also became very protective of him.
Okay.
He claimed it was because they were from the same country. And it wasn't long after that he convinced Tibor to actually stay in his apartment with him.
Okay.
Even to the point that he rearranged his own work schedule so that it would line up with Tibor, so they would be on the same shift.
Okay.
Getting kind of weird.
Yeah. A little creepy, man. A little creepy.
So many employees actually talked about how Tibor, like, how he was very young, he was very attractive. Like I said, this was a common thing, which caused him to have, obviously, no shortage in female attention.
Right.
Like, that was the first thing. But they said that Attilia made it no secret of his love for men, and that he also made it no secret about being in love with Tibor. Yes, starting to click,
I got it. Yep.
Yeah, he would tell other employees this.
Did you say how old Attilia was?
31.
31. Okay. And Tibor was
20.
20th time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Like, weird that someone over a decade older is like, hey, I just want to be around you and, like, smell you.
Literally. Literally.
Yeah. A little weird, bro.
To the point that Tibor even knew about this, but was very good at ignoring Atelier's advances.
Yeah.
And was, like, would visibly and verbally make Attilia upset and unhappy when he would tell him he was not interested in his advances.
And, you know, just based on what we know about him so far, I'm sure he was respectful about it and not being a dick, you know?
And this is a typical case of someone doesn't like the word no when it comes to liking somebody else.
No means no, people. If someone does not reciprocate, let it be.
Right.
Okay? It's just adding fuel to a fire that does not need to be there.
Right. So, obviously, like I said before, 3 weeks before this was when Alice had taken this job, and she obviously had quickly caught Tibor's attention.
Right.
I said obviously because she is stunning, fun, talented, and has the same love for musical instruments as Tibor did.
Yep.
So, like, a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
She started to pay more, Tibor started to pay more attention to Alice.
Right.
Which, like, hell yeah, girl, do your thing. And this made Atelia very, very jealous.
Yeah.
Despite knowing that Tibor had clearly told him, and obviously shown, because she had just started working there, that he liked women.
He probably thought, you know, if Tibor becomes his roommate, that maybe he can make him fall in love with him or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you can't force feelings on, you know, it's not going to happen if it's not going to happen.
Right.
And it's just putting in for a messy situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all live together, you're all up in each other's business all the time, and if he starts dating someone, of course he's gonna get mad.
Well, the thing is, he's about to leave. Like, he's literally 2 days out from leaving.
Right.
You think he's really gonna start a relationship with someone?
Right. When he's probably, like, extra mad because he's like, I'm out of time!
Probably.
You know? Jeez, dude.
So, obviously, please think this is, like, the jealousy or, like, an ominous clue for them of, like, what may have caused this to happen.
Yep.
But police actually came across, and even, like, before they saw all of this, they came across something pretty interesting on Atelia's Facebook, which, dear God, take me back, because literally this is at the time when you would inform everybody about everything on your Facebook. So they found an ominous, creepy message on his Facebook. He wrote on his status at 6:23 a.m.
Okay. Jeez, only an hour and a half before cops got there.
Yes. On August 10th, 2011, and he said, I'd like to wake up from that nightmare, ...
What the fuck, dude?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, was this the day before they died? Because you said he was supposed to...
No, this is 6:23 in the morning, that same day that cops showed up.
Because Tibor was supposed to leave the next day, right?
The 11th,
Got it, okay.
Yeah, the next day.
Oi, that's insane.
Yeah. So many friends left concerned messages on this post, to which Atelia responded to. And
so
this,
he's obviously live.
Right. And this led investigators to believe that there was more than what they knew of him being involved in the murder of Alice and Tibor.
Right, yeah.
So, when investigators started to interview the people who had been at the party, they all said that when they left the party, Alice, Tibor, and Atelia were the only people that stayed.
Okay.
So, like, we know that whatever's happened was between those three.
Right,
period.
Exactly. Yeah.
This obviously told them that something clearly happened between the three of them. They just needed to figure it out. And unfortunately, very soon after this, Alice and Tibor's families were notified of what happened and of the devastating loss. Alice's mom actually told police that she had received a text message from Alice just after midnight, where she said that she was going to stay at a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
This gave police a little bit more of a timeline of when this stuff unfolded for them.
So they know that it happened sometime after that, in between
like 6:30-ish.
Yeah.
And so 6 hours.
It's a pretty small window of time. Yeah.
Yeah. Police ended up putting on an APB for Atelia, but it was almost like he was a ghost and just gone in the wind because he literally vanished. Like, could not find a trace of this man.
But his ass is still posted on Facebook.
Yeah. Which is wild. So they actually tried to ping his cell phone, and I mean, this is 2011, so remember, like, all we have is cell phone tower triangulation, and it's somewhere inside of that triangle.
Exactly, and it's not even anywhere as, like, concise as it is today.
No. And it kept picking up that his cell phone was between the same towers as the hotel. So people, the cops were like,
where did
he chuck this? Like, where did he get rid of it?
Right.
Because truthfully, you know, he had to have gone out a window or something, or like just walked out the front door and left it unlocked, like, because it was unlocked when they got there. So, like, they're trying to figure out where the cell phone went to.
Yeah. I'm, like, seeing things from a show in my head, but I don't think it's from this story. I'm going to just keep what I'm guessing to myself, and I'll see if
that.
I'm right.
You keep that to yourself. So, investigators end up working on this crime scene in this house for 2 days straight. They end up leaving for a couple of hours, but the forensic team actually was like, you know what? We're going to do some more tests. We'll be right back. They went back to the scene. This is where things get weird.
Okay.
They first noticed that a door, it's the door to the bedroom where they found Tibor's body, and they had left it open when they left, but now it's closed and locked from the inside.
Like, either something shady's happening or you got a ghost.
Right. So, they obviously call for backup because it's just the forensic team. Mm-hmm. Cops show up. They're like, oh, God, we got to get in there. They break in there, and they see the last thing they ever expected. That was that Atalia was laying on the bed, naked, drunk, and had clearly tried to take his own life with a pair of scissors and a knife.
Bruh. Oh,
yeah. There were wounds all over his neck and his wrists, and when police asked him questions, he started acting really strange, almost like he couldn't speak, and he started trying to talk to them and show them things with gestures and sign language.
What the fuck?
Yeah, very odd. It almost seemed like he was in such shock, and I put that in quotations, that he couldn't verbally speak to police as to what was happening.
He's like, see, I can't admit to any of my crimes.
Right. So, police end up taking him to the hospital because they just want to make sure that he's not, like, gonna die on them because he's been trying to take it. Yeah, and he's been trying to take his life and all of this stuff. And they quickly confirm this. And at this point, police are clearly confused as to where Atalia's been for the last 2 days.
Right?
They're like, what the hell? Because they're
like, we've been all over this house, like, white on rice. Like, I don't understand what's happening.
So, here's what happened.
Oh, boy.
He apparently realized what he had done and grabbed his phone, several bottles of water, and actually climbed inside of the bed and waited for police and forensic specialists to work the scene. And I will post a picture of this.
Is he like a paper human? Like, what the fuck,
so,
dude?
So, it's almost as if it's like the box spring part of the bed.
Mm, yeah.
Clearly has this weird... I don't even know how to explain this.
It's like a
cut up and then across and then like down. It's like a flap almost, but like he didn't flap it enough so that it would hang down. He just cut it enough that he could like sneak his wormy ass little body in there and then just big chilled with water and just was what on his cell phone.
Fuck.
And he had like poked holes in the side of the bed so that he could see what they were doing in the room while they were like
that
taking care of the crime
scene. Uncomfy,
dude. You're telling
me what the fuck? That is a whole other level of just fucking weird.
No,
and
it gets even weirder. And mind you, this is the same bed that Tibor's body was on when they got there.
Oh my gosh, what the fuck?
So he was literally laying inside the bed underneath Tibor's body when police got there.
Fucking weirdo. I bet he was, like, laying with it after he killed him, too.
Oh, girl, I'm telling you, there's stuff that happens, so get ready. So, he was obviously arrested at the hospital. He's the prime suspect in this.
Yeah.
And beginning July 9th of 2012 was when his trial began.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Okay.
But I am going to tell you, this is going to be a little bit of a trigger warning because I'm going to talk a little bit about, like, why Tibor's body was found the way it was, how they know that both of them were involved in this with Alice and everything like that. So just a trigger warning. Police found that the party had obviously gotten out of hand when the three of them were together. They did know that there was sexual activity not only between Tibor and Alice, but also between Tibor and Atalia, and then also Atalia and Alice. So...
A threesome. Yeah.
So,
okay.
And I'm not trying to, like...
Do your thing.
...deframe either one of the two who lost their lives by this. It's just...
It's information. Do your thing.
Do my thing. I'm trying. It makes me really uncomfortable.
I'm saying
to
they do their thing.
Yeah. It just makes me uncomfortable to have to talk about this, especially about people who aren't even alive anymore. But
exactly. Because, like, what happened after the fact makes it not okay.
Yes.
Like, to each their own, you do whatever floats your boat. But it's like, what the hell happened?
Yes. So, how they know this is that Allison's upper body had DNA from both men on it.
Okay.
And then also Alice and Atalia's bodies both had Tibor's DNA on them.
Okay.
So, and then Tibor had both their DNA.
Okay.
So, just so you guys know, that's how we know.
Yeah.
Atalia said that he remembered the three of them being in bed together, and there was a quote-unquote connection between the three of them, but he somehow could not remember or recall what happened next.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they were probably high and drunk.
So, Italia insisted that he only realized that he had murdered them after he woke up that morning.
Okay.
And found Alice and Tibor's bodies.
Convenient.
Yeah. I'm going to say that he was probably intoxicated, but I don't think he was actually on drugs of any kind because it seemed pretty calculated. He knew what he was doing. He said that he realized that they had died from his actions and that he felt he should take his own life as well, but he was too afraid to do it alone. And here is where I'm getting into some trigger stuff.
I was going to say, before you do that, him saying that they died from his actions.
Yeah.
Like, no. That's like saying that, like, that's like making it sound like, oh, I drove drunk and I killed them in an accident. Oops, by default. My bad. Like, no, you literally murdered them.
That's and, not your, and violently. I
mean, yes.
And violently.
Right. Like, stabbing someone is an action, yes, but you're, like, lessening what you did.
Yeah.
So, nah, dude.
Yeah.
No.
So, because he didn't want to do it alone, he cut off Tibor's clothes and climbed into the bathtub with him.
Knew it was something like that.
Yep.
Just fucking knew it.
Where apparently he tried to take his own life again, but he couldn't.
I would be very surprised if there wasn't some necrophilia up in there, too.
I didn't see anything on it. I actually did try to see, because I just wanted to, like, emphasize that if it did happen, because that's not okay to do.
Right.
And also, like, it's information. But what I know, did not.
Right. And honestly, it could be that he was getting, like, some kind of desecration of a corpse thing regardless, so they didn't want to...
Yep.
Yikes.
So he then put Tibor's body back on the bed, which is where he was found. They just laid him there. So which is why all that blood was gone.
Where did it say where he was actually stabbed initially?
Tibor?
Yeah.
Two shots right to the heart.
I know, absolutely. But I mean like what location, sorry, not where.
Oh, I don't know where he was originally stabbed. No, it was not on the bed though, so my guess is it's probably on the bedroom floor.
But they didn't find blood there?
I didn't see anything of where they actually, where they think he was murdered in the facility. That's my own assumption.
Okay, got it.
He could have been in the living with Alice.
Yeah, or truthfully. I was wondering if maybe he, like, lured him to the bathtub or something and did it, or, yeah, I don't know.
Then he said he moved the body, and then he attempted to kill himself again, but this time by putting, sorry, this is not funny. Oh, I'm so uncomfortable.
Just uncomfy laughs.
Yeah. But he tried to take his life again by putting a hairdryer into the bathtub with him and attempted to electrocute himself, but it continued to work underwater. Oh, I'm sorry. Boy. That's why I'm laughing. It's just the image of a hairdryer working underwater.
Right.
It's just so weird.
Does it just make a lot of bubbles?
Okay. So then he realized that someone would come looking. Obviously, very soon. Yeah. So he cut that opening into the bed, and that's when he hid and updated his Facebook status.
What the actual fuck, dude?
Yeah,
he's like, disgusting. Save me from this nightmare. I'm literally hiding in my bed under a person who I just murdered. What is wrong with you, bro?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And see, that all just says a lot to me that he left Alice out in the living room with a pillow over her face. Like, to me, that sounds like he was chasing her and, like, cornered her out there. And he didn't care about her in the slightest. And he wanted to, you know, do something for Tibor to, like, make it better in his mind. But what the fuck, dude?
So, I'm going to pop into the trial now because there's some things that go down in this trial.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Whitman, I think is how you say it. He is a prosecutor in this case, and I do quote him here in a minute because he's got some pretty tough to the chest things that he says in this trial. And also, mind you, that he opened up with all these facts in this case to the jurors, to which Atelia actually began to cry and weep loudly while he was saying this.
Like, how about you just make better fucking choices in your life,
dude? Yeah, not be a complete dickhead.
Yeah. I have literally no chill for people that cry when they killed someone in cold blood. I can understand if it was an accident or if, like, you literally had no ability to be within your capacities. I understand that. But literally, no, dude. He knew exactly what he did.
Yes.
Clearly, because he went and fucking hid in his bed and moved Tibor's body twice, at least. Like, at least. What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
So he's quoted as saying when he talked to the jury, as you will hear, two young people both met a violent and unjustified death at the hands of the defendant. Although it had been said before about other cases, it is difficult to find the words to describe what happened in this case other than the state it was, and then to state it was a tragedy that two young people should meet their death in the way that they did. That's literally how he opened to the jurors.
And to me, being that Alice was stabbed upwards of 20 times.
22 in total, yeah.
Yeah. That was rage. That was, pure rage. He was jealous of her, guarantee you.
Pure rage.
And the fact that he only stabbed Tibor, I don't say only, but like just through the heart twice.
Right.
To me, that was symbolic. Like that was specific like MO to that.
Absolutely. It was calculated. And this is what tells me that he wasn't super drunk or super high. Right. Like there's no way a drunk high person would be able to target your heart twice.
Right.
Perfectly. Right. Like, and then 22 times just willingly stab another person. Right.
It's like, no. You're that incapacitated. It seems like the whole thing would just be more frenzied.
Right.
And it seems like he was way more calculated when it came to Tibor.
Way more.
Yeah. And was just enraged at Alice.
Yes.
Terrible. Like, I can't even imagine what they went through.
Oh, I can't either. Moments. I truly feel for them.
It's like thinking about who went first. I can't decide what's worse, honestly.
My guess is that I think Tibor actually went first. Just because that many stab wounds on somebody, right. Tibor would have had
that's the capacity what I'm thinking
to get
too.
Up and move around.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. And then Alice may have like happened upon it, or she ran while it was happening or something.
Yeah, or he came in and surprised her one or the other, and she was sleeping on the couch. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be.
It's kind of wild.
Ugh.
He went on to tell the jury that Tibor had been in a relationship with women who worked at the hotel, like many other women, like... He's in his freaking 20s.
Yeah,
like,
he's a young man. He's a young man that just moved to a new country.
Heck yeah.
He is sowing his wild oats. Let him live his life.
Dude, if I had moved to another country, I sure shit would have done the same thing. Just saying. He said, but there was no evidence that he had ever been in a sexual relationship with Atelia.
Right.
But Atelia obviously appeared to have these affections toward him.
Right.
Really wanted to stress this with the jury. Don't blame him for wanting to stress this with the jury. This kind of explains some things for them.
Right.
And also said that he would behave in, like, a possessive way towards Tibor, which...
Not surprised.
Yes, he did.
Right.
Later on in the trial, it was said that Atelia was jealous over Tibor, and a few days before the murder, he actually staged a literal, and I'm not joking, temper tantrum, that is what everybody said, against Tibor during their team building session.
What the hell?
Get this, he was mad because Tibor had taken a picture that Atelia was not in.
What the fuck?
Yeah, to which his behavior and outburst reached a climax, they think, when he found out that Tibor had been accepted to the University of Budapest and was set to leave the UK at the end of the month. They think this is kind of like what started everything. Right. So, it's again, like he's premeditated, like, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's like he literally became obsessed.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, investigators obviously concluded that the last straw for him was when he saw Tibor and Alice kissing. My guess is this happened... before the threesome,
yeah,
he got his like kicks in and then took his plan out.
Yeah, yeah,
which I think is pretty shitty.
Yeah, exactly.
So again, Whitman was also quoted as saying he had the presence of mind to conceal himself effectively and to remain undetected throughout the time that we were on the premises. When he was questioned about if police were negligent for not looking under the bed, because, like, that kind of did click in my brain, too. I was like, why aren't they, like, searching the bed? That's really weird.
Right.
John Fitch was quoted as saying, police had not been negligent for not looking under the bed. I've looked back and had several times and talked to several senior management. With this being such a strange and bizarre thing for a person to be doing.
Right.
And he also said that the crime scene and examiners would actually lose critical forensic evidence if they had physically lifted the bed.
Right, because that's where one of the bodies was.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, that's not common practice to pick up the bed and move it.
Well, and if the bed didn't look abnormal, there would be no reason for them to suspect that. That would be like the same thing as them saying, oh, we're going to look under every couch cushion. We're going to look, you know, in every cabinet, all these things. If there's no reason to suspect it, there's no reason that they're going to look.
Well, and as far as I know, this bed was on the floor.
Right.
Mind you. And it did have like a slash up and across that to most people would just look like a very used bed in a bedroom because it has like nothing to make it look nice in that sense. So because it doesn't look like a nice bed, you're going to see cuts in it and be like, well, that's probably just wear and tear. Right. Like, it didn't give any evidence that there's a fucking human inside of it just watching you like a creep.
Right.
Ugh.
Gross.
It's disgusting. The
fucking, like, eye holes. I'm just like, what the fuck?
It's so wild.
It's, like, so voyeuristic and it's gross.
Well, and the fact that he literally laid in there for 2 days watching investigators, like, do their thing and forensic team collect evidence and, like...
Like, well, that's why his phone's pinging off of that tower. Because he was right fucking there.
Well, and he was getting out at night.
Ew.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Like, why didn't he just go somewhere else?
I don't know. I'm glad he didn't.
Such a fucking weirdo.
Truthfully.
Well, yeah, because he wouldn't have been caught.
Right. So, Attilia actually pled guilty to manslaughter, but not murder on the basis of diminished responsibility.
Bullshit. See? That harkens back to him saying, my actions caused this.
It's the same as the Alfred plea. He's basically saying, like, yeah, I killed them, but I don't remember doing it. Right. So.
And it's like, oh, yeah, I killed them. But it's, like, not in the way that it's, like, murdery.
Right.
And I don't say that to sound disrespectful, but literally,
no,
like,
that's literally that's what he's saying.
How absurd it is.
So stupid.
Right. It's like, you did it. You killed them. You murdered them.
And here's what he's quoted as saying, I accept that I killed them, I just can't remember what happened. Oh. Yeah,
and it doesn't matter. That still means that that was in your heart. You still did that.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing if someone has, like, dissociative identity disorder, if they have, you know, split personalities, and they literally have no cognizance of what they're doing and have no recollection of it whatsoever. He clearly does.
Yeah.
Even though it's foggy, it doesn't matter. It's, like, totally fucking different, dude.
Yeah.
And if you can't, if you can't handle substances, I'm saying, like, let's play devil's advocate that he actually couldn't remember, which I think is bullshit. But if you can't handle substances to the point where you're forgetting things and you are feeling these kind of feelings, don't partake in these substances.
Facts.
Like, be a responsible fucking human.
Wouldn't that be, like, wild if somebody was actually, like, human?
Dude, I literally just think he was so obsessed and just enraged by everything that his feelings were unrequited, and there are some people that just do not take rejection well, and I'm not lessening at all. Mm-mm. Because literally, like, he took that to the biggest extreme. There are plenty of people that don't take rejection well, but don't go and murder people as a result.
You've nailed it. Like, I don't even have anything to say after that, because, like, just hit the nail on the head. So basically was saying that he's trying to escape responsibility.
Yeah.
And he also tried to, obviously, escape responsibility by trying to attempt suicide.
Right.
Then he pretended that he was unable to talk due to shock, and I put that in quotation marks. And now, lastly, he's unable to remember anything.
Right.
Like, this man, through this whole thing, refused to take responsibility.
And him feigning the inability to speak actual words shows that he knew exactly what the fuck he did.
Oh, he knew.
And it doesn't matter, because if he truly didn't remember anything, he'd be like, what the fuck? How did they die?
That's what would happen in your brain. And he probably, like, would have notified somebody and been like, I'm waking up with this. I don't remember this. Like,
because if they had had a massive party the night before, it could have been feasible that they were murdered by someone that was at their house.
Truthfully,
but he immediately was like, what did I do?
Yeah.
So he had some cognizance of it.
He did.
Somewhere in his little brain.
So, July 18th of 2012, we're just shy of a year, roughly. After 5 hours of deliberation, the jury found 32-year-old at the time, Attilia Bond, guilty. And on July 18th of 2012, he was also sentenced, which I was like, whoa, back to back. Okay.
Nice.
He was sentenced to 2 life sentences, but he actually can apply for parole after 26 years.
Bullshit. I was worried because of the whole manslaughter thing, but at least, because literally what he did, I feel like it's going to be very slim chance that he gets parole anytime.
Right, soon, I would agree. I don't think he's going to honestly ever get it. I have a feeling he's going to try to apply for it because he just seems like that kind of a person.
Right.
But, I mean, truthfully, for Alice and Tibor, I don't know if it's a just sentence with the fact that he gets parole.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
If he had gone two life sentences and no parole, then I think it would have been a little more justified. But he took two innocent lives that were literally about, one was about to start his career in a university.
Finally moving the way he wanted to in life.
And as far as I know, Alice was ready and moving as well with her life. And you literally just took their lives because you were jealous.
Exactly. Because your feelings got hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Get it the fuck together. I'm being facetious. I'm not actually sorry because fuck you.
I know you are.
Just like anyone. Ugh, and see,
it's horrific.
Again, fragile male egos.
And don't get me wrong, they're fragile female egos as well, but I tend to see a lot more male egos burned when they're told no.
Right, exactly. Girls tend to just like let it fester inside more.
Yeah, and we're like, I know I'm prettier than that. Don't be an asshole. Like, fuck you. That's how like and I feel like a lot of girls.
With their words.
Yeah, girls are really bad verbals.
Yeah, but still, again, we talk about it all the time. Get the help that you need, man.
Absolutely. It's wonders what therapy can do. Coming from someone who does it.
Or medication.
Both. They're great. They're wonderful.
Yeah. It does seem like he definitely was a man that needed help.
Yeah.
And needed a better way to function in life and his perspective of things, especially because it seems like he definitely felt like he was owed something.
Yes.
That he wasn't. No one's owed anything.
No.
But seriously. That's
what he thought. He thought that he was owed this relationship because he liked Tibor.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, Tibor doesn't like you.
Right. And that's his prerogative.
Like, and if he wants to go sleep with whoever he wants to sleep with, he's more than welcome to do so.
Unrequited feelings happen all the time. It is not your right to retaliate and take someone's life.
To take another person's life, like, not only are you taking the person's life of who you liked and you're mad at, you're also taking the person's life who they were interested in.
Right.
Who is really, truly a third party that's not involved and did nothing to you. Neither one of them did anything to him.
And obviously, Tibor was very respectful about it because they were roommates.
Yes.
And he didn't let that affect their relationship from what it sounds like.
No.
And Alice didn't either. She still, they stayed friends with him. They, you know, had a cordial relationship with him, even a friendly relationship. And he went and fucking did this. Like, dude, it sucks. Heartbreak hurts. But that doesn't fucking give you any right to do that.
No, it does not.
It's just absurd to me.
It's awful.
And the fact that that creep fucking hung out in that fucking bed.
Ugh,
under his body. Like, see, all of this, it just screams being very, not even necessarily premeditated, but just systematic. Like, it had a reason. It had symbolic perspective to it. Wow, stop talking to the hands, dumb bitch.
Normally, that's me.
Yeah, it had a lot of symbolism to
it. Yes, it did. I think so.
Everything seemed like it was some kind of symbol to him.
I think so. I know that a lot of my research did not point to that, but that's how I felt, too, the whole time when I was, like, obviously two hits to the heart. Like, you knew where you were aiming for.
And the fact that he cleaned up Tibor's body.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, just brought left Alice.
Brought him in the bathtub with him. Right. Like, was trying to not die alone because he had him with him. Like, you clearly gave zero shits about her.
Right. Gave Alice, like, complete overkill and just left her.
Absolutely.
Left her to die by herself.
Literally.
With a pillow over her face. And that, too, didn't want to see her face. And that's usually a pretty big indicator of feeling guilt.
Yes.
I just, ugh.
It's horrendous.
It really is.
So I'm gonna, like I said, I'm gonna end this with words from Alice's mother and Tibor's mother, and I just felt like they talk about their children and just amazing things about them, but they also talk about, like, what this has done for them and their families.
Right.
And I just felt like it was a good thing to end on. So I'm gonna start with, Alice's mom. She honored her memory by saying, and I quote, "My heart is broken. My life will be tinged with sadness. I miss Alice so much. I would do anything for one more Alice squeezy hug," which I thought that was adorable. "One more smile. Alice's death has created extreme emotions, grief, anger, and overwhelming sorrow within my family and have changed our family forever. As a mom, you are supposed to protect your child. in your children, and every day and every night I have to deal with the knowledge that I failed, which that broke my heart.
You did it, Mama.
She did it. She said, the most difficult thing to cope with is not knowing exactly what happened to my lovely Alice that night. Horrific as it would be to hear, the truth would be preferable to the constant struggle going on in my mind of trying to figure out the sequence of events leading to Alice's murder. There's no words to adequately express what an amazing and unique person Alice was, and how much love, joy, passion, and compassion she brought to so many lives. Her loss is a tragedy beyond expression.
Oh my gosh.
But I thought they were beautiful words from a mother who loves her daughter.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel bad that she thinks that she failed, because she definitely did not fail as a mother. Well, she did everything she could have done.
And I think, I can only imagine for parents, they probably just feel like no matter what happened, they couldn't protect their baby.
Right.
And it's just, it's terrible. And the fact that someone thought that they had the right to fucking do that.
Ugh, it's horrendous. Tibor's mother also gave a statement. Her name is Rosalia. Mm-hmm. And she paid tribute to her son by saying, and I quote, as a young boy, Tibor was interested in music and art, repairing gadgets, and practicing freestyle tricks on his BMX bike, which he named Daisy, mind you.
That's so funny.
At home, he would always innovate and enjoyed experimenting with computers, building stereo speakers from cardboards and old cables. He has a passion for photography and spent his first salary on a professional camera.
Oh my gosh.
Tibor was always friendly, helpful, supportive, approachable, outgoing, and trustworthy. He had many friends in both Hungary and the UK. On the 11th of August, I got to know that two innocent 20-year-olds, my son Tibor and his friend Alice, were murdered. I got to know that their lives were taken away by Tibor's friend. It was impossible and devastating to believe something like this could happen. Previous to that, it was comforting for me to know that Tibor found a good friend in London who was mature, friendly, and intelligent. His friend promised me personally to look after my son and to not let anything happen to him. I trusted him and regarded him with one of my own. That is another reason why the news about my son's murder was so devastating. Throughout the police investigation and trial, I had to relive the horrors of that night, which have only strengthened my sorrow. There are no words to describe the agony and the loss we as a family live with for the rest of our lives.
Oh my gosh. And the person that made that promise is the one that literally took his life. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's just fucking heartbreaking.
It's so heartbreaking, but very rarely do I get to hear from, you know, the parents or the family.
Right.
And I felt that Tibor and Alice, their parents, really not only, like, established who their children were.
Yeah.
But also hit the really hard notes of, like, I have to relive this. I need to know what actually happened to my, you know, my daughter or my son. Like, I just thought the way that both of these mothers brought honor to their children with their words was so endearing.
Yeah.
Is the word I'm looking for.
They just seem to really capture who they were.
Yes.
And their feelings for them, how this affected them, all of the things.
Yeah. And I just wanted those two amazing mothers to know, like, they did a great job raising their children. Yes. Like, this was out of their hands. Yep. Like, this is unfortunately a person who took it upon themselves to make this decision, and it had nothing to do with them.
Right. It's just a very cruel person.
Very cruel. And they literally cut two lives short that
for no deserved
the absolute world.
Yeah. For absolutely no reason.
No. And it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But I wanted to tell the story because it's something that I haven't really heard. And, like, the whole case is kind of wild. And I feel like, Alice and Tibor should have, like, a bigger show, like, People Investigate or someone talk about this, because this just goes to show, like, you never know who you're with. And, I mean, we know that, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's best friends, like, you really don't know. Like, I really don't know you when I'm sitting across the table from you. Right. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
What goes on in somebody else's head is a complete mystery to everyone else.
Exactly. No one knows that except the person.
No.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. It definitely broke my heart, but I really wanted their story out there, and I really, really, really need some, like, big-time producing companies to come out and, like, get this story told some more. Mm-hmm. Just, like, almost as awareness.
Yeah.
Because these are two beautiful humans who clearly got along with everybody they met. Like, they hadn't met a stranger a day in their life. Right. Both of them.
They shine light onto the world.
Literally. Yeah. And then somebody that they trusted did this to them. And it's, I don't know, maybe just news for other young people. I mean, even old people, but young people especially. Like, just always keep your P's and Q's ready. Mm-hmm. Just in case someone decides to absolutely lose it.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my story of Alice Adams and Tibor Voss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for telling their story. I know it definitely, I've only ever seen it on one show, and I can't remember which one it was. It was either, like, the same one that I got the J. Sewell case from, or possibly Fear the Neighbor. It may have been that one. Mm-hmm. I'll try to see if I can dig it up, and then I'll put it in the show notes, but
yeah. If you could, because I tried. I even, like, looked up, like, documentaries and everything. Like, I just kept getting YouTube channels, and I was like, I'm not looking for a damn YouTube channel.
Yeah, it definitely exists, at least on one show, but that's the only place I've seen it. But thank you for bringing that and telling their story.
Yeah.
And, gosh, I just...
I feel for their parents, and I feel for them, and, like, we keep saying every episode, these are lives that... Literally,
we've been covering a lot of young people's stories.
I think it's because there's so many young people out there now that, like, even at these times, like, I mean, I didn't know because I was kind of close to home, I guess is the best way to explain that. When you're the same age, you don't notice, like, or even within, like, 5 years, you don't really notice things like that.
Yeah.
But now that I'm getting older, like, and I'm not saying I'm old by any means, but, like, in my 30s, I'm starting to realize, like, death is a real thing. Like, you start having, like, deaths in your family, like, teachers, like, parents of friends, things like that. And so it just, like, becomes more realistic, maybe. And
the inevitability of it starts hitting.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's why I've been, like, kind of sucked into younger people cases, just from the standpoint of, like, these, I've passed this point now. Like, I passed that milestone.
Yeah.
And the fact that I got to pass it and you didn't really bothers me.
Yep.
So I feel like I need to talk about it.
Yep. I totally get it. Yeah. Yeah. I've covered, since we came back, I've covered two cases of 18-year-olds. You talked about Jamie, who was 11.
11.
Yeah. In your last episode. It's,
Now I've got two 20-year-olds. Like, it's just, I don't know. It sucks when people take a life in general, but, like, to especially to take a young human's life who literally was at the prime of living. Because truthfully, your early 20s. Into your 30s is like prime body wise, like we know this.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just bums me out. And I really wanted their story told. Yeah. So I brought
thank
it.
You.
Of course.
Oy-yi-yi. Well, that's it's one that needed to be told for sure.
Yes.
But if you guys have any cases that you want to hear us cover, we do keep a list of things that are suggestions, and we do rotate those in as well. You can send them to us via email at inthenickofcrimepodcast@gmail.com. You can send them to us on Instagram, TikTok too if you want. It will take a while before we see it because we're terrible about checking it.
Oh, I need to check that.
Yeah, I was on it. I forgot. Like, I think I checked in on it like last week and there wasn't anything to know. But either way, you can send them to us that way. Otherwise, all of our things live in our link tree and our show notes.
Yeah.
And, I really think that's kind of all we got for you today.
Yeah, we won't extend it out. I mean, that was a pretty cut and dry case, but I would definitely recommend looking into it. And, you know, I'm sending out all my positive thoughts to both families because I know that hit them hard.
Yeah,
unfortunately. Absolutely.
Yep.
So, yeah, with that, I guess I'll say keep it creepy and stay freaky.
And we will see you guys next Tuesday.
Yes, yes. Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Ew. That was underwhelming.
That was super.
Okay, bye.
Bye.